Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, Serial Data, and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a great show with a hilarious guest with so much inside scoop. But first, I just want to do a couple updates. You guys all remember Denise Richards and from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and all the work she's done. And she was married to Charlie Sheen. They had two daughters. Their oldest daughter, Samantha, goes by Sammy. She's only 18 and she has joined OnlyFans. If you followed Sammy's story, about a year ago, she did a TikTok. She said she has left high school and her mother's house. She said she hated living at that house and it's an abusive house, and went to her father, Charlie Sheen. Let me remind you of who Charlie Sheen is. Well, he was, you know, this renowned actor at 19, had the lead in this movie Platoon. Then he got on all these shows and was star of Two and a Half Men. Started to like really behave badly on Two and a Half Men. And that was this crazy time where that's where he was just going insane on Twitter and on Instagram. And he was referring to himself as a winning and like criticizing everybody. And he said he had tiger blood. Early on, Denise divorced him when she was pregnant with their second daughter. Because I think this girl is the oldest. But she still remained friends with him, let him see the kids. She came on my show and she said, yes, I'd be having Thanksgiving dinner. And he would arrive and then mention that he had a, you know, prostitute with him who was in the driveway in the car. And she said, well, my God, it's Thanksgiving. Please bring, either have her come in or bring her a plate. Okay. So I was like, you are Saint Denise. He had another wife that he had twin boys with that also struggled with drugs and alcohol. I just remembered, I forgot her name, but she had a reality show with Paris and Kathy Hilton. Look up Charlie Sheen's ex-wife. She's been in and out of rehab at least 21 times. I had dinner with her mother, Jill Zarin and Patty Stanger, like 12 years ago. And that was so juicy. And but anyway, at one point, Denise took in the two little boys because the two of them were not equipped to take care of the kids. Now, I really feel bad for this situation. We know OnlyFans to be mostly really sexy photos, sometimes even more videos, private chats. It's, you know, subscription-based. Other people have said, no, OnlyFans, you can cook on it. I think Dorinda and Sonia are on it. Brooke Mueller. And the show was called The World According to Paris, but it featured Brooke Mueller a lot. And it was about Paris and Kathy Hilton trying to save Brooke Mueller's messed up life. Oh, my God. I can't believe I just remembered that. Anyway, here's my thought on this. He's coming out and saying it's not because of me that she's doing OnlyFans. It's not because I have been a crazy father who, you know, dated porn stars and brought prostitutes to Thanksgiving dinner and had women in the adult interest industry sue me for various things. I'm not the reason that my daughter is going into this business of OnlyFans. It certainly didn't happen under my roof. Here's the thing. I think it's these kids, you know, they're not in school. They've lost interest in education. And they're like, well, I can make money doing this. But here's my thought, Sammy Sheen. Now everyone's talking about you. You're totally pretty, okay? Big blue eyes. She really looks like both of them. Has a couple little tats. Cute little body. This is what you do. You do OnlyFans, but you tell the juicy scoop. You tell the story about what was going on when your dad was doing the Tiger Blood tour for Live Nation. He literally went on a stand-up tour about Tiger Blood and yelling out winning, and Live Nation put him on stages, okay? I want to hear about that. Do you even remember that? I want to hear about when your mom was on Housewives. Did you know about the fact that everyone was accusing her of, you know, fingering Brandy Glanville while she was doing a Hallmark movie in Canada? You do that as part of your OnlyFans, okay? And people like Juicy Scoopers that are my age will subscribe. Once you've depleted all the juicy stories, now we know you, and now maybe you could actually pursue real acting if you want to work that hard. It means you got to take some classes. It means you got to memorize some lines. It's not just turning around and taking a photo of your ass crack. So it's a little more effort doing a sitcom, doing TV movies. It is harder than OnlyFans. Also, you know, I just hope none of your dad's friends or your stepdad's friends are subscribers. But maybe some Juicy Scoopers will if you tell us about these juicy stories. Good luck, Sammy. I don't blame Denise or Charlie. I think it's a sign of our times. I think it's about being a kid of Hollywood. You obviously struggled a little, but that is my suggestion to you. You're welcome. There you go. Oh, update on Britney's wedding. I just got some inside scoop that the boys did go. At least Jaden went. My source, who I think is very good, said Jaden went, he went with a little girlfriend too, and the boys were there. So I don't know. I'm going to investigate a little bit more. That makes me happy. I hope they went. I hope they had a nice time, if that's in fact true. Kind of interesting that, you know, the day of, Kevin's lawyer said, no, the boys aren't going. I mean, they had to get an outfit together. They had to show up. So they obviously planned on going, and they attended. So we'll see. Also, they did the prenup, and apparently everyone should be happy that all of Britney's money is her money. He doesn't get a dime, but anything after Thursday that she makes, then it'll be 50-50. This is the understanding from Page Six. To me, I would think there'd be a little more. I don't think that's a great prenup. That's just like a normal prenup for someone that isn't super famous. I mean, think about it. If she gets a book deal and makes $1 million and they got divorced the next day, she should not have to give him $500,000 about a book that was her entire life. If, you know, if she goes, it's not like, it'd be different if, like, okay, a normal couple, she has inheritance of $500,000, the two of you guys get married at 25, and then she comes up with an idea for a bagel shop, and then you get divorced and she gives half the bagel shop to her husband. Fine. But I'm talking Britney Spears, talent, music, everything that you could do with that. I don't think that he deserved 50% of that. I hope that's not the prenup, because if you ask me, that sucks. But good for you, Sam. Good for you. Blac Chyna also. So the family is saying, yeah, you sued us. Now you owe us $390,000. That is what our legal fees are. And that doesn't even count what the lawyers are owed. This is just what the lawyers have submitted to go to trial. So some of these things are like putting all the models and exhibits together. All of that cost $184,000. Deposition, you know, recording and costs, you know, renting, having people come in, organizing all that, $63,000. Doing process servers to get everybody to do this depo, that cost $9,000. So she was $390,000 there. And then the trial with Rob was supposed to be on Monday, June 13th. Now it says it's going to be June 20th, Monday. The trial, she suing Rob for the revenge porn. I think it's really good that they slapped her with this money today, because she might want to rethink going forward with that case. At least I would. I could just walk up the street and knock on her door and say, little tip, girl. Might not want to go back to court, though. However, I do get a lot of content out of it. But that is my advice to you. Drop it. Make nice. And, you know, send some flowers. Okay. Now, you guys, I'm going to start packing. I'm getting cute. I will see you at the Krug Winery, 5:30 and 8:30 this Friday night with Julie Goldman and Justin Martindale. Going to be so fun. HeatherMcDonald.net. And now for my Juicy Scoop guest. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have Carlos King here. He is just fabulous. He said, everybody said when I said you're coming on that you are an actual delight.
Oh, that's so sweet. Do you believe that's true? I know it's true. Despite what you may hear from the haters, but I am a delight.
Okay.
Listen, can I say this?
Yes.
It's an honor to be here.
Oh,
I'm a juicy scooper.
Thank you.
No bullshit. I have loved you since Chelsea Lately.
Thank you.
Yes, I watched Chelsea Lately, not because of Lonnie Love, who I love, because people are like, really, Carlos? No. I loved you since then. You, Chris Brangiola. I'm a fan.
Oh, so thanks.
It's an honor. You have no idea. I'm like fangirling inside.
I love it. Well, I just want to catch people up. A lot of people know who you are, because they should. But you kind of have an interesting trajectory, and like not a little bit like an Andy Cohen, in that you started behind the scenes and producing Housewives Atlanta. And now you actually are a host of your own talk show on OWN, in which you have a lot of shows on OWN too.
Yes.
A lot of new reality shows that people should check out. And you're like doing your thing.
No,
as well as
time.
Having your own production company. So you're kind of carrying both. You're still producing original programming and then also being a star. Look
yeah.
at you. Good for you.
I like the way you said that. I'm like, oh, you're so right. No, it's a great time right now. Yes, I own my own production company. It's called Kingdom Reign Entertainment. We produce several shows for the Oprah Winfrey Network, BET, Netflix. We have a couple of shows that's coming out shortly. And I have a late night show called The Nightcap with Carlos King, which is every Saturday at 10 o'clock on OWN. And Heather, it's a party. It's a 30-minute after party.
And where do you record that?
We record that in Atlanta.
Oh, nice. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And, okay, so what I kind of love is just that you've just worked on so many different shows. So we have a lot of, like, old school questions. And some of these I know you maybe have answered before, but, you know, it's different when it's with me. So
absolutely. It's more fun.
Let's just get right into it. Let me go right to, now, was Atlanta or New Jersey the first one you worked on?
Atlanta, season one, day one.
And at that point, you were just a hired, like, producer or how, okay. And had you watched The Housewives prior to Atlanta? Because I think Atlanta was the third or the fourth franchise.
It was the third. So I got hired as an associate producer, season one of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. At that time, the only show that aired was Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think, like, season two or three. New York was in production.
Okay.
So we knew about New York, but it didn't air yet. Atlanta was the first entry point into my reality TV career after being obsessed over Laguna Beach and The Hills. I am where I'm at because I was obsessed with The Hills.
Yeah.
And I had all the black people at BET. I was working there at the time. They're like, what are you watching? I said, it's called The Hills. Heather, 99% of the black people at BET was like, this is the best show we've seen since, like, Days of Our Lives.
They loved it, too.
They loved
Once
it.
Once you turned them on to it.
I turned them on to it. And I said, this is Spencer. That's Heidi. That's LC. And my friend who was working at BET at the time, she saw that I was obsessed with The Hills. And she said, I got this job opportunity to do this reality show in Atlanta. It's called Ladies of Hotlanta.
Oh, right.
I said, bitch, say less. Heather, I left New York City, moved to Atlanta.
Where did you grow up?
In Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I left Detroit because I said, I need to get out of here and make something of myself.
Yeah.
So I moved to New York.
Right. And then you go to Atlanta.
Moved to Atlanta. And the first day of filming, I was introduced to NeNe Leakes. She said, hey, bitch.
Mm.
And in that moment, I knew we were going to be friends forever.
Mm. You know, I noticed that the black women calling each other bitch was so predominant
yeah.
on the last episode. Marlo is really feeling herself. And she's really throwing the bitch around and the sex shaming and the ripping on people's husbands. And since we're talking about Marlo real quick.
Yes.
will we ever see these old white men that have supplied her with her lifestyle that all the other women reference? Where is her Big Papa?
I know. Listen, and I met Big Papa, you know, back in the day. Season 2, I met Big Papa.
You did.
He's not big at all.
He's Persian, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing big about him. I've known Marlo since season 4.
Uh-huh.
And I've been on double dates with Marlo. There's never been an old white man.
Who is it?
That's the thing. It's like this mystery. So look, when Marlo first got on the show, at that time, she was seeing an older white gentleman.
Okay.
Who afforded the lifestyle that she was living at the time.
It wasn't the same guy that that Anna Nicole was married to. No. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, wait, honey, I'm going to produce that. Absolutely.
How amazing if, like, someone was just walking through a house and they just, like, see this photo and it's, like, him. And they're like, and she's, like, standing there. Okay, so you did enjoy a dinner.
Yeah, no, I've had dinners with Marlo yes. and her partners at the time. They were never old white men.
Okay.
So what's interesting is...
But there was one.
There was one.
Yes.
And she's honest about one. So I don't think you'll see any currently. She's still single. I talk to her all the time. We were texting this morning. And
I mean, I like her. I'm thrilled that she's a regular.
Yeah, listen, she's there to stir the pot.
You know what's interesting is that some of the Juicy Scoopers, this one wrote, I'm watching Atlanta this season. I just realized Portia's not on it.
Ooh.
I'm a little surprised. I'm not missing Portia at all.
Oh, wow. Did you notice her absence?
No, not till she brought it up. I kind of really didn't. I mean, I felt like Nene was a big absence, but that it's been many years since she's been a regular, I kind of like, it's fine. You know, I think it's fun to have new women come. Like,
absolutely.
You need new stories. But as far as Marlo goes, let's just say I was interested to see why Phaedra was in Dubai, because I would think Marlo might have had a history in Dubai. And I think you know what I'm getting at.
Well, allegedly.
I just found a girl on TikTok.
Oh, I thought you said you found the girl in Dubai.
I found a girl on TikTok that was one of those Dubai
debutantes.
Girls that would come from Atlanta to make $100,000and like, and then just like have their brain scarred forever. But but I was like, I wonder.
Yeah, no, listen, Dubai has a lot of allegedly, you know, participants of people who travel from Atlanta,
yes,
the Bronx, and other places to meet their match, whether it's millions or love.
Right. Or money or walking into a room that is got plastic everywhere for a reason. Okay, just let's move on. So anyway, let's talk about Atlanta. So you started Atlanta, you met Nene, she called you a bitch, you said, I love you.
I love you.
And then it was Kim, Bad Wig, Big Papa Days, and they were best friends.
Yes.
They were met, and I remember when I interviewed Kim, that she said, you know, like she and Nene were friends, and I think it was Nene who first brought up this idea. Hey, I wanted the show because Nene was always pursuing acting. She yes. was going to LA for pilot season and all this stuff. So you guys put this together, and what were you thinking right when it started? Did you think it was going to be a hit? What did
I
you think
instantly.
Of it?
I knew instantly. So if you go back to season 1, episode 1, at the end of that episode was this epic party that Sheree was throwing. It was her birthday party. Mm. And Nene and Kim were going together. Kim changes at the Shell gas station parking lot, because that's what girls do in case their dress doesn't work. Their stylist meets them at the Shell gas station, right?
Okay.
So I knew then, I was like, this is something I've never seen before. Sorry, Bethany and Jill. Sorry, Vicky and Tamara, who I love. You've never seen this type of shit before. So I knew, like, you girls are doing something that's unprecedented.
Right.
But Heather, it wasn't until Nene leaks. Mind you, we're 5 days in shooting. Nene leaks could not enter Sheree's house because she wasn't on the guest list.
Yes, I remember that.
So mind you, I'm this new producer. I'm 5 days in on this new career path of being a reality producer. Even then, I said to myself, wait, if Nene's name's not on the list and she can't get into the house, but there's cameras following her, I can get into the house. My name's not on the list. The camera guy can get in the house. His name isn't on the list. So I knew that going in. So when she was saying, which you guys didn't see, she said, I'm a motherfucking housewife, bitch. Let me in. I'm a housewife. You'll see these fucking cameras following me? And he goes, I was told under strict instructions, if your name is not on the list, you can't come in. I knew that night this show was going to be a phenomenon because I've never seen anyone get played so deliciously.
And so you give all that credit to
Sheree.
Sheree.
Because Sheree is a uncredited producer. And on my podcast, she admitted that she left his name off the list on purpose.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Great television.
Speaking of She by Sheree, well, she fell in love. Love After Lockup style. With a cat named Tyrone. Even the name is like, are you kidding me on this name? Like,
right.
Tyrone. Like, if you were going to write a scripted show and someone goes, and then the guy's named Tyrone, you'd be like, can we just make it Michael? Like, can we not
okay,
be
Dennis.
So... Yeah, can we not? It's Tyrone. So, and now in that case, you know, not only does he not show up for the Philly cute lunch, but... He doesn't text and say, hey, guess what? I can't come now because, you know, technically I really shouldn't be on camera or my lawyer says it's going to look bad for probation or whatever. So, I mean, what is your understanding of that situation? Because I did feel bad for her. I thought it was nice that Kenya was a friend to her at that moment. But, like,
yeah.
I did. And then I also thought it was great when Marlo said, now, what if your daughter was
so
dating a convict who then, you know, she spent all these years and she gave him the second chance, which you want to give these guys and these women a second chance. And some really do show their way. But, and then he blew off your daughter after she drove 3 hours when she could have, like, conveniently flew home to, you know. And it was kind of like, that was pretty good,
yeah,
you know?
That was good.
So what are your thoughts on that whole thing?
So, look, I think Sheree is gorgeous.
Yes.
And she can literally get any man she wants. I felt so sad to see her get played by this guy who should be thanking his lucky stars that he has a Sheree in his life. So the fact that he decided to blow her off and not even text or call her back, listen, as a producer, I look at things through a different lens, like I'm sure you do sometimes. Look, I think he was afraid of showing his face on camera.
Yeah.
I think... Listen, what we have learned with Erica and Tom Girardi is the moment your face is out there...
You're a target. Yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah. Google search. They go through your tax information. They will find anything about
you. And we're just talking about Juicy Scoopers.
Yeah. Who all work for Uncle Sam. They will find so many details for you. I think he had cold feet. And he knew the moment I show my face... I will never be able to live this down.
But I'm just saying, like, how could you not have thought about this before? You've been dating her for 4 years. You know she's on a TV show. How has that not gone through? But maybe really he didn't really think it through. Maybe it took, like, a friend, like a sister.
I think it took his lawyer to say.
Okay, yeah,
listen,
not a good idea. Yeah,
I think our Juicy Scoopers know this. You have to sign a release in order to appear on camera, right? Hi, Juicy Scoopers. Yeah. So... In order for you to appear on camera, you have to sign this piece of document.
Right.
That 9 times out of 10, a lawyer will look at. I think he sent the appearance release to his attorney, and his attorney said, are
Hell
you
no.
fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And I think he could not break it down to Sheree because he knew that...
That she'd be reading the text and all that kind of stuff. So, is it?
There you go.
Do you have any inside scoop? Are they still talking and seeing each other?
I believe that Sheree now knows her worth.
Oh, all right. Now, Now, this is a very difficult question for anybody that's a fan of Sheree. She is so beautiful.
She is.
And she really has beautiful, nice brown, long, mm-hmm. natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Who is in charge of the Elvira confessional look?
I
need to know who that person is, and I think that person needs to be outed way worse than Tyrone.
I think that person needs to be under the jail.
Yeah.
Okay?
Why?
Listen.
Why black hair doesn't look as good?
No.
Why an awful wig when you have really nice hair?
Yeah.
I understand women today, especially black women, they like to do different
wigs.
They like to switch it up. That's not the switch, though.
No. So you know how we all have a mood board?
Yes.
Mine is Chris Evans and Idris Elba, right? That's my mood board.
Okay.
So every once in a while, I'll go to my barber and say one or the other, and he's like, no, bitch, you're going to look like you. So Sheree clearly had a mood board.
Of Elvira.
That or of other people.
And it just turned out like Elvira.
Yeah, it's sort of like what I wanted versus what I got.
Okay, well, it was just awful.
It was bad.
It was honestly maybe one of the worst.
I think between that and the NeNe blonde bob. Do you remember that one?
Still chills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which one's worse to you?
And Elvira. Because I think NeNe honestly looks kind of good blonde. I just don't think Sheree looks good with black hair. It's just like
her with lighter tresses,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of which, were you around or what was your thought about the white fridge? When NeNe said, ooh, child, she has a white fridge. That really struck a chord with so many people that own white fridges that were currently shopping for a fridge. And let me just tell you, I just was looking for fridges, okay? Because I'm building a new kitchen, and the white fridge is coming back. There's a really expensive fridge called True or something, and there's another one called Viking, people know. I just saw a really cute retro-looking white Viking fridge in like a retro Palm Springs kind of a kitchen, and NeNe's gonna eat her words.
Well, look, I think Listen, I think there's a difference between the white fridge.
That's Viking, that's like $13,000. Like,
that you see at the Super 8 motels.
Yeah.
Right? You talk about the plastic sheets.
Yes.
Let's talk about that white fridge. Up until that point, I had no idea that the socioeconomic status of people is determined by the color of your refrigerator.
Yes.
Until NeNe said that. NeNe has put white refrigerators out of business. Right?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But let's talk to Josh Black, because I think white refrigerators, they're making a comeback on certain homes. I have one in my home.
Okay.
But it's built into the cabinet, right?
Well, okay, that's
there
a
you
lot
go.
Of you.
I have that.
You mean they put the cabinet covers on the fridge, too? That's
exactly.
That's what everyone's doing. And so I will have white cabinets, so I'll have a white fridge, too. I didn't even think about that.
No, I know. As long as you don't have the one that's like, you get to, like, those two handles.
And you know what? Even if you do, shut the fuck up. Like, everybody's fine. Like, that's a thing. Like, people, like, okay, here's the other thing. In general, women, okay, listen. Yep. I love Housewives. I've been watching it since day one. It's part of my career. It's part of my business. I like the women. I enjoy it. It truly is sports for me. And when people criticize saying, like, because I was thinking about it and I'm like, God, you know, like I want to be a feminist and like these women tear each other's homes down and their relationships and they're so nasty and they talk about your edges are showing or your hair looks like shit or your outfit is crap. And I'm like, is that really what 50-year-old women should be saying to each other? But then I said, wait a minute. For years and years and years, people were like, it's so gross that men like to watch these men tackle each other and hurt each other and punch each other and in sporting events. This is just our sporting event.
That's it.
But instead of actually hitting each other, though sometimes that happens, it's really
hi, New Jersey.
Words and me. And I think once you sit back and if the women can kind of compartmentalize it and be like, this is a sport, this is a job.
Oh, yeah.
This is fun. Then it's like, I think that's the way that we can continue. Because if you really pick it apart in light of 2020 and people being like nicer souls to each other and everything, it does seem a little contradictory to where the world is going. I mean, it's straight. It is bullying.
But
it
no,
is
they're, bullying. They're opera blood.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Housewives, because I produced so many seasons of it, I can tell you they treat it as a sport.
Yes.
It's a game of Survivor. It's
yes.
all about the alliance. It's all about who can read a bitch. It's all about how can I top you.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Yeah,
it's Squid Games. Housewives is Squid Games, except no one has a DOA.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But the intensity of trying to, you know, one up each other is severe. And yeah. Marlo is an example of somebody who is utilizing her peach as a way of saying, no one is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And she is coming for everybody.
I mean, when she was like, when she took Sheree over during the Jamaican jerk chicken party, when she took her aside and just basically ripped on every single person. And what did she say? It's like, Candy can't get a rich guy. What did she say? She was like, Candy can't get a rich guy, or
yeah, something she's dating underneath her tax bracket.
Oh, she right. Oh, she's or she boned every rapper. There's no one left. And then, oh my God, who else? What else did she say?
Kenya is a video hoe.
Right, Miss America. You know, F that or Miss USA or whatever she was. And she's
No, she's an iconic ex-con.
And. Right. And she's like, why was she arrested like 9 times? I saw all those.
So she has, I believe, 7 mugshots.
Okay.
And she said more than half of those was because she violated her probation. So it wasn't 7 crimes. It was, 7 violations.
Right. She went too far away for a date, probably. Right? Something like that.
Yeah, maybe the Spirit Airlines trip to Dubai just wasn't,
Yeah.
What she wanted. She wanted a private jet, but
So, okay, let's go over to, let me see. Hold on 1 second. Let me go over to New Jersey. Now, what years did you work New Jersey?
The best ones, seasons 1 and 2.
Okay, so you were, so was Season 1 was the flip, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And the story, now, people that have studied you were letting me know that it was you that handed the book, Cop Without a Badge.
New York Times bestseller.
In which Danielle, but her name at the time was Beverly, was in the book. Now, just give me that story for the people that don't know how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, so I wrapped Atlanta Housewives July of 2008. I got a phone call 2 weeks later and said, we have this other show. It may be a Housewives. It's in New Jersey. You live in New York. Can you do it? I'm like, sign me up. Whatever. So I do the show. Dina, Caroline, Jacqueline, Teresa, Danielle. I was Danielle's producer, right? I was Nene's producer on Atlanta. I'm Danielle's producer on Jersey. So Danielle was this divorcee who was very different than the other women.
Right.
I will go on record by saying this. If it wasn't for Danielle, I believe season 1 would not have been renewed.
Whew, Danielle believes that too.
Because you needed somebody that ruffles the feathers. So we all knew that the other women, besides Jacqueline, had this like hot and cold relationship with Danielle. So long story short, we're maybe, 5 weeks into filming, and we're hearing murmurs about this book. So mind you, within the 5 weeks, look, nothing was happening. Right? It was kind of like,
It was Teresa was flat. She was going to get a boob job.
She got a boob, her bubbies.
And then the brownstone.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't go against the family.
Right.
So we knew that.
The manzo. Yeah.
Like, they weren't going to come for each other.
Right.
So we heard murmurs of this book. And they came to the producers and said, did you guys know this is the woman you hired to be on the show?
Caroline and
all of them.
Okay.
Okay. So, of course, as producers, we're like, we have to follow the reality. And the reality...
And when you get handed a gem like that as a producer, honey. Is it like you guys all go with straight faces and you're like, well, thank you for letting us know. And then you shut the door and, like, do a fucking dance.
Did you have it hidden cameras in our production office? Because, of course, we're like, oh, okay, oh, well...
Wow, that's concerning.
We're going to dig into this, right? And did we? So, we knew to have them talk about it because they were talking about it behind the scenes. Danielle found out because of Jacqueline, as we all know now.
Right.
So, the day of the finale, at that time, it was the standard that the finale dinners involved the husbands and the children. Whether you're 2 years old or 18, you had to sit at the adjacent table. So... You had Melania, who was maybe 2, sitting at the same table as Lauren Manzo, who is 17. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, Danielle said, I know they're talking about the book. I want to bring the book to the finale dinner. Yes, you will.
Okay.
She wore LBD. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you can't walk into the party showing the book, it has to be a surprise. You're wearing a little black dress.
You have no big purse to put it in.
Like, come on. So I said, when you arrive, hand me the book.
Okay.
And I'm going to cue you when to talk about it. So she hands me the book. We're taping for maybe 2 hours. It's awkward because they can't stand Danielle. She's not saying anything. We're like, it's time for this book.
And why... This is what I don't understand.
What?
Why did they suddenly not be able to stand her? Because she boned the 27-year-old at the Shore House? Like, kind of, what was it? I didn't really get it. Like, she came off really kind of nice to all of them. She didn't do anything shady to them. So it was kind of, like, out of nowhere.
I think at that time, it was sort of like, does she represent what we want this show to be?
Oh, got it.
Do you know what I mean? Like...
So she wasn't classy because she's boning it. I saw the sex tape, by the way.
You did?
Yes.
Was it good?
No. I mean, I've
seen... On a scale from Pamela Anderson Lee to Kim Kardashian.
You know what's crazy is that I am not somebody that's watched a lot of porn. Very, very little in my life. And I do believe porn can, like, scar, like, keep a memory in your head. Because I did see the Tommy Lee one with... And I remember the dick driving the boat. That's, like, I saw it, like, after doing stand-up at the Improv at, like, some guy's house.
You're
like, back
legend.
In the day. And then I never watched the Kim one because I...
It's too close to home?
First of all, it never fell in my lap. Like, I would have had to order it, like, in a hotel room. And yes, it fell too close to home, and I just don't want to see it. And then the other one that we just talked about, someone sent to me, and I remember, like, exactly where I was in my bedroom, and I'm watching it. And it's just, that guy was so ugly. He was 27, and he looked like he was 48.
Yeah.
And he was, like, strawberry blonde with, and like, the New Jersey accent. And then she was, like, on top of him, and you could see it. And then she was just like, oh, you know, hey. And I could see if that had come out, that's why they wouldn't want to be around her. But that came out after this.
Well, no. So is this a Juicy Scoop exclusive? They knew about it then, too.
So that had already been filmed with the 27-year-old guy?
Yeah. We've seen it during production.
Okay,
so
well,
that
then
was
that...
Thing. It was...
Wow!
Well,
the
no.
mystery is solved!
There you go. An exclusive. So, no. A lot of...
Because if I... Listen. If I was Dina Manzo and someone said that to me, I would be like, Carlos, do you know who you hired?
What
the fuck? Like, I would be like, oh, my God, I don't want to be part of this grossness.
It was a pile-up of, like, things.
Yes.
But, listen, the beauty of producing that season is we all knew if this is your truth, then talk about it.
Right.
Like, we can't alter the reality. We're not going to say, oh, well, bye. Like, no, talk about it. So when Danielle came to the finale dinner, she wanted to talk about it. So we were shooting for an hour and a half. We're like, it's time for the book. So I crawled on my knees underneath the table holding this hard copy, not paperback. So it's a little heavy. And I place the book next to Danielle's ankle. I tap her on the ankle.
You know I was a leg bottle.
Oh, yes! Yes, I'm a cop. I love you. Yes, so I tap her on the ankle.
The famous legs.
That I'm sure is insured.
She was a top model.
Yeah. The insured legs for $1 million.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is your cue. And she reaches underneath the table because I'm like, boop, boop. And we sort of like meet, you know, two ships passing in the night. And she brings the book on the table. And the rest is history. So, look, I love Teresa. Teresa and I are great friends today.
Are you going to the wedding?
You know what? I haven't received my mail-in invitation that Ramona received, who you've known for 5 months.
Okay, you know what? I really think it's actually pretty upsetting that you weren't invited, being that you speak so highly of Teresa. But I know that the guest list is very limited. There's a lot of family. There's a lot of... Well, maybe I'll get you an invite.
That's... Well, are you going?
No, I've actually never met Teresa.
Oh, you will love her. She's a doll.
But I have... I mean, no, I met her once backstage at BravoCon, but I did really like Melissa and Joe. They like did a show of mine, a live show. I like. I know Margaret. I've interviewed Jackie. Dolores, I've yet to interview, but I'm trying to. And I interviewed Jennifer. So
okay, so yeah, you're in.
And Dina.
I love Dina.
And I got the full scoop from Dina years ago.
Yeah.
Of really why... She and Caroline.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll ever be repaired. And then, of course, with the horrible situation with the brother-in-laws and the ex-husbands and all that stuff.
No, it's horrible. I love Dina.
Yeah.
She's a sweetie.
So, okay. So you love Teresa, but...
But listen, I think we can all say that Danielle, you know, is responsible for the table flip. So Teresa's iconic moment... You have to, it's a little like Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, right? Like, you know, that was the layup that Teresa needed to be the superstar she is today.
I mean, she owes everything to Danielle.
And I think she knows that, which is why she brought her back a couple of seasons ago.
Yes. And I also, I remember when Jill Zarin was, because we've been friendly for a really long time, and I go, what, have you heard anything about this New Jersey show? She goes, oh, it's crazy, like flipping tables and stuff. I go, flipping tables? Never even heard that. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, there, it really got to, like...
First it was calm.
So, but I mean, I interviewed Danielle, too, but then she wanted to cut everything out of it, so I just was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. But she did tell me that, like, I really did go through the 19 engagements. Like, keep all the rings. What about this? And I kind of like held her accountable to it. And it was juicy. There was good info in there. And then she like came back and was like, I think she realized she was going to start a podcast. I don't know if she's still doing it. And she was kind of like, wait, why did I give Heather all this like unknown juice? And then she was like, cut this, 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 and this. And then I was just like, it's fine. But like, I just don't have time to do that kind of editing.
Yeah.
And like, I wish you well. And like, I did enjoy talking to you, but I'm not going to, you know, spend 20 hours editing a podcast. Like, so, but yeah. So, okay. So all good. Now, what is your understanding of, was it the chicken or the egg when it comes to Melissa and Teresa? Was Teresa, knowing that if you guys found Melissa and Joe, you would want them on the show, so that she purposely never invited them to anything where you might meet her, them, and then somehow you guys found her on your own and pursued her, and then told her, don't let Teresa know that you're going to hire her. And then Teresa felt like she was blindsided. But in the end, she wasn't being a cool sister-in-law. She was deliberately trying to keep Melissa and Joe from ever meeting you guys and having the opportunity to have the stardom that she and now they both share.
That's not true. It isn't.
What? I have been thinking the wrong thing this whole time.
That's not true.
Well, what
so
is
let
true?
Me tell you. You my girl, spill it. So look, I produced seasons 1 and 2.
Yes.
Melissa and Joe came on season 3.
Right.
So I'm going to give you the juicy scoop of the scoop.
Okay.
So listen up, scoopers. I met Melissa season 2.
Where?
At
At the posh fashion show.
No. No. At Audriana's christening. She was there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So this rumor of...
But that christening wasn't filmed, or that
it was filmed.
Oh.
That's how I met her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was so...
But she was not featured in any way.
Well,
not
look.
Not mic'd in any way.
Well, no, because the thing is this. She wasn't the focus.
Right.
So, as you know...
When I go to these parties.
Yeah.
People have been like, Heather, it's like, where's Waldo? Like,
yeah.
I went to a lot of them in the beginning, and then I started turning them down.
Because yeah.
It was almost a little embarrassing.
Because you just don't know if you're going to make the cut or not.
And
right?
Also, you feel like, here's your person who's your real friend, but you want to talk to them, or you want to talk to all of them, but then you see that they're obviously talking about a storyline, and you're like, I don't want to waste anyone's time. I don't want the producer to get mad at me. I don't want them to shoo me away.
Yeah.
Like, it's just embarrassing. And that's why there's 8 people at these parties.
Exactly.
Because anybody that's gone a few
it's
times
boring.
Is like, I'm done. Stop inviting me, Heather DeBrow. I don't want to go. You know? It's like not as fun as people think.
It's not. So this rumor that... they weren't invited to things. I can say to you face to face, I met Melissa.
Wow.
Face to face.
And when you met her face to face,
yes.
Was she at all pitching herself?
Not to me. She was friendly to me.
Okay.
So she was there. They were invited. When you're shooting a show like that, our focus is on the people who are getting paid.
Right.
Not the ancillary characters. No disrespect to them.
Yes.
So that's not true. Now, I left after season 2, that whole like posh fashion show, chase down the country club, all those things, right? So I left after season 2. I get a phone call a week before season 3 was filming.
Okay.
Teresa calls me because I was her producer season 2.
Okay.
She said, oh my gosh, I just learned that my sister-in-law and my brother are cast members on this show. I did not know that until now. She had no idea.
And this is before the...
This is a week before filming was supposed to commence.
This is before the famous other baptism.
Yes.
Which was Joe and Melissa's son's baptism.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, she had no idea. Mm-hmm. She called me, freaking out. What should I do? I don't know, Carla. This is crazy. That's my family. I don't want to fight with my family. She was freaking out.
Because she knew that the show required fighting at this point?
Well, I think she knew that at that time they probably weren't at the best place.
Oh.
But she, so when she said she was blindsided, what I can say to you is the truth that I know.
I do believe she was blindsided.
She had no idea.
That part I do believe she was blindsided.
She had no idea. She found out because they finally revealed to her, not they, the producers, that your sister-in-law and your brother are on the show, you have to go to this.
Christening.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there.
Which is the first day of filming. That's how she found out. So,
and why was Joe Gorga so jealous or angry about his dad being close to Teresa's husband, Joe? Like, that I thought was so... Remember, he like...
Yeah.
He was like, you're talking about my
fucking Yeah. So listen, I didn't produce season 3. Yeah. So I can tell you what I've known being Teresa's producer for the first 2 seasons. Teresa 100% took care of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
She was there 24/7. She dropped everything for her mom and dad. She literally did everything for them.
It seemed like that.
And I think the jealousy may have come from the fact that at the end of the day, when you have one other sibling and the other sibling may not do as much for the family.
For the elderly parents,
yeah.
Which is very true.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So I think it could be seen as, is she your favorite? Teresa did everything for them. And we saw that. She had her father move in with her.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything for them. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, there were some jealousy, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
based on my conversations with Teresa.
Yeah. I think it's that. And then I think it's also like, with anything, even if it's like a best friend or whatever, you're like, oh, I kind of just wanted this to be my thing. Or
yeah.
I wanted this to be my group of friends. Or I wanted, and
100%,
now.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think at the end of the day, Teresa came into this reality show world wanting to have fun because she was best friends with Dina. Yeah. And she was friends with Jacqueline, and she was friendly with Caroline.
Yeah.
Dolores was always there.
Yeah.
But it was always Teresa and Dina. And I think after Dina left season two, Teresa knew that the success of the show rested on her shoulders. And she became as this emerging talent. And she gives everything to the show. So the fact that you now have to share this with your sister-in-law, this, I don't think this is shade, who you don't like. They don't like each other.
Right.
And they never will. And it's fine. They will never like each other. So to have to share the spotlight with someone who you don't like.
You know what I think they are? I don't think they wish each other bad.
No.
But I don't think they wish each other great success. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can be honest about that. It's like, I don't want you to get cancer. I don't want anything to happen to your house, to your kids. But like, am I happy to find out that you won $300 million in the lottery? No.
Not necessarily.
You know, no. You got a big campaign or, no, I'm not. No. I'm going to say I am, but the truth is I'm not. And I think people can be like that. It's a little of a frenemy thing. And can you still have a chuckle with them? And can you still enjoy stuff?
Oh, yeah.
But there is a weird competition jealousy thing that you just can never get over.
100%.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing is, and Melissa said this recently, I think after the reunion or during, like, great, the whole world knows now that you don't like me. It's like, honey, I think we all knew. You two were the one faking it for the cameras.
Right.
You guys don't like each other.
You'd have seasons where they
don't like each other.
Yeah.
It was fake.
Right. Okay, let's get into... Now, Potomac, yes. Your girl, who's not featured in this one, because she was already
Samuels.
Gone. Monique has left Real Housewives of Potomac. She's on your new show on OWN, which is called... What's the name of that?
Love and Marriage, Love DC.
And did anybody have... What was your feeling about Monique leaving, because the big conflict with Monique and Candace was a very physical fight. By far the most physical fight I think we've seen on any of the Housewives.
Yeah.
Where, like, it was very intense.
Uh-huh.
Monique and Candace physically got into it. Monique really pulled her hair hard. And so was there any concern? Like, what happened with that? Was she let go from Atlanta? Was it a mutual goodbye? Like, what happened?
No, so after that incident in Potomac, Monique had a lot of soul searching to do. And she felt that she wasn't given the opportunity to really tell her whole story. So after the reunion where she had the binder, that iconic moment, she left that reunion knowing that this would probably be the last time I see these people. She did not get fired. She left on her own terms, on her own merit, and they didn't want her to come back.
They did want her to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you want to follow the story.
And that's the juice. And also, like, now, my understanding is that they signed, part of their contract in which they signed is, and tell me if this is true or not, they're not to sue each other.
Right.
For defamation, what they might say on the show, but also for a physical thing. So when Candace then was trying to get letters of support from Ashley to, like, sue or do a restraining order, how did that play out?
Well, that was the thing. You are 99% of unscripted shows, when you are a part of the cast, you don't sue each other. There is no defamation lawsuit happening because at the end of the day, you know, they say crazy things to each other. You're right. A whore. You know, you slept with this person or whatever. Like, think about how many lawsuits we have to deal with. You can't make the freaking show.
Right.
So that is the case in a lot of reality shows. So the thing with Monique was, if we're going to deal with this, let's deal with this. You know, let's handle this in the way that most people would if they weren't on television.
Right.
And obviously, I'm not saying Candace shouldn't have done that. But at the end of the day, there is this clause in their contracts about that. And I think Monique felt she went too far. So, again, it's a game of tag. Like, well, you did this, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? And let's see who wins in the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wait, I want to go back to Atlanta really quick. What really, were you there for Kim and Nene on the bus?
Yes.
You remember?
Uh-huh.
And that was got very physical.
You said almost or got physical.
It did get physical, didn't it? Or did it not?
It did not get physical on the bus.
They were on a bus going where?
They were leaving Kim was on tour.
That's right.
And they were going to Miami for Cynthia's bachelorette party.
Okay. And they, I don't remember what they were fighting, but I remember it was something where NeNe got on top of her and it was sort of a choking situation.
Oh, that's season two, allegedly.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So what allegedly happened was season two, Kim and NeNe were supposed to film a scene in Atlanta, and the producers were talking to these two frenemies, and supposedly NeNe choked Kim in an argument that occurred. Cameras were not rolling, and to this day, it's a lot of he say, she say. I will be honest with you.
Who's the he in that? That's rude.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, pronouns. Okay.
Well, she say.
A lot of she say, she say. So what's funny, Heather, is I was I was tardy to that party. Hey, Kim. I was 2 minutes late to that scene. All I can say to you is...
The bus was shaking?
No, so this is the thing. It wasn't... They weren't on the bus, so it's two separate incidents.
Oh.
So season three was the bus moment you saw.
Oh.
Where she got in her face, but nothing physical happened.
Okay.
Season two, the season prior to that... Because remember, that season ended with NeNe going over Kim's house saying... We both did something wrong. And Kim's like, but you choked me. And NeNe said, no, I didn't. And she said, you're looking to me in my face, lying to me. And NeNe storms off and leaves. So that's why it's this big mystery of, did she or did she not get choked? We will never know.
Because there were no witnesses to that incident.
There were, but they were producers. And you have another clause for your
producer. What do you think about NeNe suing Bravo and saying she was discriminated against and that that they didn't care when Kim would say, in her opinion, racially insensitive things? What's your whole opinion of
that?
Yeah,
no, listen, I think it's so sad that it had to come to that. Listen, I love NeNe. I love Kim. Kim was on my late night show last week.
Yeah, I saw a clip of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard Kim say the N-word. I've never heard her say it.
Is that what she's claiming? Did she spell it out?
There were some things in there that I think allegedly she was saying those things. So I'm not privy to any of those things. But one thing I did seasons 1-4 and then 6-9. Kim's last season was season 5. I didn't produce season 5. And that was NeNe and Kim's last season together. I don't know what the hell happened that season.
And I also can say, you know, the show's been going on for 15 years. And just like if you watch a movie, a major motion picture rom-com that came out 15 years ago, you play that in front of some 18-year-old college freshmen, and they're going to be like, this is so problematic. This is so awful. I cannot believe these people wrote this. I can't believe this is a storyline.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got it. If you're, you know, it's fun to watch these old shows, but like, please, like, you got it, and not that I ever saw her say anything like that.
Yeah.
But people have shown me clips that people of all colors are saying wrong, not cool things today.
Correct.
You know, and like, you know, Brandy said something, and they've all said stuff.
With Joyce's hair. Yeah, listen.
Joyce's hair.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's just been little things like that. Like, I'll just watch it, or even like Yolanda, these things are coming out where Yolanda's like, Beverly Hills, like, oh, I don't want Gigi to play volleyball because they look like big lesbians. Like, I mean, she says it.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, yeah. She needs to be a model and, like, not eat and do a juice cleanse. And it's like, that's the reality, though. She was a thin model who wanted her daughter to be a thin. Like, you want the reality, and then you expect these people to, like, it's not scripted. So it's and also 10 years is 10 years. Like, so, but in her suing, what I think happened with NeNe is she, you know, she got too big for, this is my opinion, she got too big for her bridges. She was at that place, and a lot of actors scripted a reality get there where you get someone in your ear and they're like, you don't need that. Leave the band. You can go solo, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very hard to do these solo shows. And it's very hard to, you know, have a, you know, Ryan Murphy may not continue to hire you like he does Sarah Paulson. Like, don't think that you're just going to get, you know, a million shows after that. So I think when she got like that and then she kind of realized it had dried up, then in the climate that we were in was like, no, that's the reason. And had she had other people around her, if I was her friend, I would have been like, hold on. Because the minute you threaten to sue Bravo, just threaten to it, threaten, because I know other housewives that have even sent kind of a firm email or something. And they're like, goodbye. We don't need this.
Yeah.
You are replaceable.
Yeah.
You know? I was just talking to Kate Casey and she goes, do you remember the show Menudo, the band Menudo? And I go, oh my God. Yeah. I go, wasn't that like a group of Mexican guys that they just kept replacing once one turned 17? She goes, yeah. She goes, housewives need to realize they're Menudo. They're Menudo. And you got to do everything you can while you do it. You got to enjoy the time.
Yes.
And but also, like, don't get to the place that your whole family's fucked up and your kids hate each other. But, like, it's very hard to play it. But you also really have to be smart. And you also have to realize that, like, you know, you're not Celine Dion. Like, you're not, you know what I mean? You're not Adele. You don't have, like, a one in a million. You're not Mariah Carey. You don't have a one in a million talent. Like.
Yeah.
I mean.
But that's the reason why you have the Teresas and the Kyles who play the game well.
Right.
And they are like geniuses when it comes to understanding.
Let's get to Beverly
the
Hills.
Platform.
Yes. By the way, page six, big article. Kyles, you know.
Her back.
She's fine.
Is she?
Yes. I have excellent source that she was out and about yesterday.
What's the scoop?
She's
not bedridden.
No, she's like was like walking and working.
Was she playing with her emotions?
I can't. No, I think that she honestly, I think she just honestly hurt her back and posted about it. And it was a slow news day. And everybody's like, she's a quadriplegic. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, no.
Okay.
So people just need to
relax. I'll relax
then. When there's literally 400 Instagram accounts and podcasts dedicated to Bravo stuff. They need to sometimes make bigger deals out of it. Is I'm very happy to hear it. I mean, nothing's worse than a back injury, but I think she's fine.
Okay, good.
Let's just tell me what you think of Beverly Hills. Just give me your thoughts on this season.
Heather, may I say?
Please do.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's always been my favorite. The favorite city or favorite seasons?
Cities.
Yes, always.
I really think. Listen, I interact with a lot of women who want to be reality stars and they study the wrong people because those big personalities that your favorites have is truly a gift that they have. You can't mimic that, right? Kyle Richards is the most number one underrated housewife of all time because she's not this big, loud character, but she plays this game of I'm going to move story forward. I'm going to be a little messy. I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to give you great reaction shots.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a split. I'm going to be a party girl. But I'm also going to be your best friend. And in my opinion, she is the quintessential housewife because she plays the game well. And she doesn't mind being hated. She's a Hilton. Do you know what I mean? Like, or Richards, she,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't care what you guys
think.
She's
the daughter of Big Kathy. Yeah. I always say the same thing, too. I really like her as a person.
Yeah.
Like, I met her over the years. She did my show and, like, you know, came very unassuming, on time, hour and a half. I like all the Beverly Hills housewives that are previous actresses because they are so professional.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these rich housewives that married well and have never had to work or hold a job are not great, I can imagine. Respecting other people's time.
No, they're not.
So
I can say that's the case.
Yes, and then you meet ones that have been working since they were four.
Kenya Moore
and
Cynthia Bailey.
Right, and Kyle, who had to be on set at 4 years old in a horror flick.
Yeah,
you know, like she knows to be on time.
Yeah,
and, like have her hair washed.
No. Yes, and get your muumuus together for your clothing line.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Kyle. I love this show. I think it's a great cast. Lisa Rinna is the one of the best villains of all time because she doesn't give a shit what you think about her. I'm sorry, guys. Hate me if you want. I love the Force Fox Five is what you guys call them.
There's Dorit, Erica, Kyle,
Rinna,
Lisa, and who's the other one?
Teddy Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm a teddy bear. So look, I like people who sign up to do a show and do the show.
Yes.
And I think some of those other women are playing to the Twitter fan base, which you and I both know Twitter only represents 22% of the world. It's not the real world. It's not your focus group.
Right.
So, yeah, those women are still on the show because they make great television. And I think Beverly Hills is so juicy, pun intended, because they don't mind throwing each other under the bus.
Yeah.
They don't care.
And now, you know how people have coaches for everything now? You know, a trainer coach, yes. Divorce coach, you're, you know, an entrepreneur, guy goes, get out of bed, you lazy piece of shit, whatever coach does. I have been trying to have someone hire me as a Real Housewife consultant.
Ooh!
And now I don't know. I would have to be under the table. But like when you said they study the wrong person,
they
like
do.
If I knew of someone personally that was going to join any of these,
what would you
I
say?
Would just be like, you can call me at 6 a.m. Like, I know you've got your producer, but like, talk to me,
yeah.
And I can guide you what you should do, what you should say. I can help. Oh, I came up with the greatest tagline for anybody to take.
What is it?
Okay. Hey, this can work for anyone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it. Don't hate me because I'm rich. Love me because I'm generous.
Oh!
Not mean. Still braggy, but in the best possible way.
And that is what makes a great housewife. Mm-hmm. Braggy and in a very different way. I love
yes,
that.
Yes, because, you know, all these, you know, the taglines, are, and I know people help them with taglines. So first I help them with the tagline. That's part of the package. So there's a package.
Is it different tiers?
Yes, it's different tiers. I help you with your tagline, okay? And then, you know, we work on what... How much you're going to show in your home. We also coach your husband. We got to
yes.
coach the husband.
Not everyone could be a PK.
Yes. And depending on your kids' ages and, you know, what their situation is, we want to feature them, you know, as much or as little as possible. Okay.
Because
the goal is if you like your husband, first I ask them one-on-one, do you like your husband? Are you doing this so the world sees what a dick he is and you get out with a candle line? What's your goal here?
Oh, okay? Hey, Gina.
And then she says, no, I really do love my husband, but I'm pretty bored and I'm kind of a fame whore and I thought this might be fun. Great. I can work with that. I'm going to keep you married. I'm going to get you a legit business that not everyone has. And we're gonna keep you. Then she's a star first season. Then I go, okay, get ready, girl.
Get ready, girl.
Girl, they're all gonna come after you. They're all fucking jealous. They all have gotten the DMs and the comments about how much more they like you than them. They feel like all their fans are now jumping to you. So I'm gonna save this, okay? And then I'm gonna like lower the expectations. Get ready for the hate. Sail through. We're gonna three is gonna be a little like this. If you've made it to four. We've got money.
Yeah.
We've got longevity.
That is good.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I will help you for free.
Nobody has hired me. Except when I did say it to Sutton as a joke when I was interviewing her, she really thought it was real. And she's like, I need that.
She's doing better this season.
Yeah. Okay. So that was interesting since, you know... with that whole thing with Crystal saying that she said this dark thing.
Can we talk about Crystal?
We can talk about Crystal. Go.
Girl, I think I speak on behalf of the black community.
Yes.
When I say you tried it. I was with
Garcelle. You tried what?
Like you tried to make something
racially
appearance.
Motivated.
It wasn't the case. And listen, I was with Garcelle because I'm going to say to you, as a black person, and again, I don't talk to Garcelle, but I think what she was thinking, like I was watching it, did she say the N-word? Did she say something to where I can't be friends with this woman?
Right.
So when you hear the conversation, that wasn't dark. It wasn't at all. And I think Crystal...
It felt like a real stretch.
It
felt like a stretch.
Honey.
And it felt like...
Call Dr. Terry DeBro.
Yeah.
Because you stretched something that needs fixing. Okay? I didn't like... And listen, I think Crystal's a sweet woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's gorgeous. I think she's bored. And I think she's trying to find her place in this group. But the way that Garcelle was integrated so beautifully and was so honest about... Guys, I'm the only black girl around you white women. Like, do you not understand how I feel? That was honest. So if Krista would have said,
And then Kathy Hilton's like, just so you know, I was friends with Michael Jackson my whole life. I'm like, Michael Jackson transitioned into an Asian woman. Okay. What do you say? When she was like, and she was like, oh, but like, it was great though. But it was true. I mean, you know, that was a good moment. Yeah, that was a good moment. Yeah.
It was like, if you would have said, she says something to me that made me feel uncomfortable. Oh my God, what did she say? Well, she said X, Y, and Z. Okay, that's how you felt, but don't portray this woman as like saying something that would really cause us to feel like, wait, are you a racist?
She's absolutely not, but I did realize that, you know, the two things that she said on that trip was, I don't see color, and then she's like, and then my daughter had two black girls, an Asian, and a redheaded Irish Catholic. I mean, it was like an international soup in my jacuzzi. And I was like throwing some carrots and we got it going on. Like, I was kind of like, you know, but I think we all knew where she's coming from, which is all just all good.
If you felt offended, that's one thing, but to refuse to say it.
Yeah, yeah. So. But I do like Crystal as a person. And I think it's just a hard thing to fucking navigate. And that's why she's like crying and I have to leave. And like, it's emotional, right? When you do all this. Okay, let me see who else I want to get to before we. How, one of the Juicy Scooper literally said, how would you save OC?
Ooh.
It's like, save the dolphins, save the sea.
Oh my God.
How would you save OC?
Okay.
Say whatever you want.
Oh, and you know I will.
Okay.
The only way OC can be saved is you have to bring back Vicky, Tamara, keep Shannon, keep Heather. Listen, I want to see her bring back Gretchen. But this new crop of women who's on this current or this past season, that may have been the worst season of a Housewives franchise I've ever seen in my entire life.
How did you feel about the finale song?
I did not get past episode 7.
No, you have to watch the finale song.
They made a song, which made me say, did it really get worse than I thought?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Heather was not the one to save the day.
They did a song that Daisy Fuentes wrote the lyrics to. Who's her husband?
Not Daisy from MTV Jams.
Isn't Daisy... Daisy Fuentes is married to...
A plastic surgeon?
No, this guy that like sang these old songs. It was like, you know when you watch like The Bachelor?
Yeah.
And then they like have a special date and they go out and it's like Kenny G.
Yeah.
And then this kid, this like white straight guy who's like 24 is like, and then we walk out to triple award winning Grammy winner Kenny G and his flute. And you're like, as if this dude knows who the fuck this 60-year-old is with a flute. Richard Marx.
That's her husband?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Daisy. From MTV to millions.
And Heather Dubrow happens to meet them, and it was just, they had the greatest foursome dinner at Craig's one night. And so then she had, Daisy Fuentes is like, I wrote this song a long time ago. So she makes all the girls get into the studio and like dress up like rock stars, and they sing it. And that's the finale.
How bad was it?
In a backyard. Honestly, it wasn't. It was kind of a catchy tune.
Okay.
It was, but the fact that they did it felt like Fonzie jumping the shark.
Yes.
Like, it felt like.
It was like, what else can we do here?
It felt way too, like, you know, like, again, I was just watching a preview of upcoming Dubai. I'm like, listen to you and everybody else. You might not like this because you probably have this happening. I don't want to see M Sculpt anymore. we get what it is. Okay, it's what rich people do. They stick it on their body. They don't have to do sit-ups. They can put on their ass. I don't need to see two women. And no one brings their friend with them when they go do M-Sculpt. I don't need to see M-Sculpt. I'm down to see other plastic surgery. Let me see a classic facelift. Let me see something that we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Let me see someone, like, suck out the fat.
Literally.
Put in their ass. I don't need to see M-Sculpt. I don't need to see cool sculpting. I don't need to see... Well, it used to be the stripper pole classes.
Oh, yeah, over that.
Or swinging in the sheets.
Oh.
I don't need to see that either.
Yes.
Fashion show?
Yes.
Fashion show is kind of okay.
I only want the posh fashion show or She by Sheree.
But I do like seeing the fashions, and I do like seeing, like, you know, this person putting something together. I'm okay with that. Okay, so how do we save it? So that's how. So essentially you are saying... To get rid of Dr. Jen,
absolutely.
Gina, and Emily, and Noella.
Yeah.
And what about Kelly Dodd?
Look, she was so iconic, her earlier seasons. I thought she was the right amount of crazy to shake the table of this franchise. Because you needed someone to be...
To shake the tree and get the oranges to drop.
Yes. Oh, yes. Is that a tagline?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, Heather McDonald. No, I loved her. Listen, I feel bad for her now because I think she fell into this deep hole of crazy that is not entertaining anymore. Like, I literally feel bad for her. I don't know who she is anymore. And I miss the old crazy Kelly Dodd who would talk shit about people and laugh at herself. I miss that.
I kind of think that she fell into a bad part of history in history. You know what I mean? And it was like...
And just doubling downing on it and just like...
And like, yeah. And I think, like, if they did bring her back, I know she's friends with Tamara. I know she's friends with Shannon.
Her and Vicky reconciled.
And it would be... And it's like that kind of bluntness and that kind of thing.
You
and
need
like,
that.
I think you kind of need it. And I would like to, I like to see all the... Basically all the oldies.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's the thing.
And I think it would be fun to see Gretchen come.
I love Gretchen. The thing
Let's
is this.
Let's see Gretchen and Slade come back.
I heard that it's hard to cast in OC because the wealthy women in that town literally look down on these housewives. Like, you're beneath us, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to cast. But guess what? It's fine. I don't... Listen, maybe...
You know those cupcake people? I call them the cupcake ladies. Who? I follow them on Instagram. They just have these fancy parties. They're all about a size zero. And every other week, or every week, it's one of the cupcake girls' birthday. And they... And Gretchen gets invited to all of it. But they're all apparently really boring. They're really rich, but they're not awful people. And they have these cupcake parties. They don't eat the cupcakes. They look like cupcakes. One day, everyone has to wear Tiffany blue. One day, everyone, it's just pink. One day, it's red. And one day, it's denim and diamonds. But it's like as nice as like a $500,000 wedding. And it's just like that girl's like... 38th birthday. And like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you think that there's, like, why aren't those women on it? But then I've heard that they're, either they don't want to do it or they're not, like, witty. They're not sharp.
Yeah,
they're not
it's
going
a skill
for
set.
It.
So guess what? Stop trying to make fetch happen and just rehire these old, you know, my
bitches.
Old booze and just, like, bring them back. Tamara and Vicky. They're the face of OC.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about when Andy said on his show, well, we couldn't have Tamara because she has a podcast about housewives. I'm like, well, everyone has a housewife.
Heather has one.
Everyone has
Heather
a podcast.
Heather talks about things behind the scenes on her podcast that no one listens to.
Yeah. And
I think it's just like, get out of here.
What do you think about that producer that left? You know him.
I know of him.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so, what?
His reasons for leaving.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, it could have been the same reasons that Noella said happened.
Yeah,
that
listen.
That Heather did get that we were not seeing all the anger that happened when the other little girl, Emily Tiny Clone, like said that, you know, I didn't enjoy my boob job 20 years
ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I miss her.
The little thing?
Yes, Nicole.
Nicole came up to me at a Halloween party.
Is she gorgeous?
Was like, she's cute. And she was just like, I'm ready to tell you everything. And she did tell me some stuff. And then she honestly she disappeared from the show. And I was like, I don't need to be sued by the DeBros either. You know what I mean? Like,
we don't need that drama.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, but Heather Dubrow is just not a leading star.
Yeah.
And when you are a force multiplier.
Yes.
A word I heard from Ebony K. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means? It's a sports term.
No.
Okay. Let me educate you and the scoopers.
Okay.
I would call them the Queen Bees. And Ebony K. Williams said, no, that's offensive to like other women. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So she said, call them force multipliers. A force multiplier is like the captain of the ship, is the person who understands how to rally the troops and get them to have a great game. So that would be Gisele Bryant on Potomac, Kyle Richards of Beverly Hills, Teresa on New Jersey. Those would be the examples. So Heather Dubrow is not a force multiplier because she isn't a leading attraction. She's not. And because they rested their this pressure on her to, like, save the franchise, she did the complete opposite.
Mm.
She's not the woman you rally.
You know, remember when she was fake gardening with a handkerchief over her hair with her daughter?
Yes.
Talking about how the daughter's gay? Someone said it so perfectly. They're like, it reminded me of Faye Dunaway, Mommy Dearest. Like, such a fake, like, anyone, I talk about Mommy Dearest all the time.
As you
should. Guys, please watch this movie. It is so amazing because it's like she, before there was reality shows, there was this woman who was this big actress who had these adopted kids for show. And then she would bring in like the publicist to take photos of her acting like a fabulous mother. And then she was horrible to them. And I'm not saying that Heather Dubrow is anything but a great mom. I believe she's a great mom.
Oh, I believe she's a great mom for
that
sure.
That fake gardening.
Yeah, it was. It just.
And just the handkerchief. Like, it was like. I felt like that was like what I did when I was 7, when I was like, I'm going to help you clean, Mom. Yeah. And I like put on like a handkerchief on my head because I like saw that in a TV show.
That's the thing. It's hard to see the authenticity.
Yeah. And what do you think of Bronwyn? What was that all about?
Which, see, her first or last? Or just in general?
Just in general. What are your thoughts on that?
I was rooting for her in my Tyra Banks voice.
Yeah.
Tiffany, no. Yeah. I was rooting for Bronwyn because I thought it was interesting that a woman that had, I think, what, nine?
Seven kids,
who was open about being bisexual. Again, this is her first season. Made out with Tamra. I knew it was doomsday. The moment they were on the double-decker bus and the other housewives confronted her for saying something and she cried. And I say, no, bitch, fight back. You're a housewife. And she sat there and cried and apologized. And I was like, ooh, this is not the show for you, baby. So I think she got the lesson too late in terms of taking the Heather McDonald's class of what it takes to be a great housewife. I think she has it, but unfortunately, you know, it was too late for her.
Yeah.
But I would love to see her back on TV in some form.
Well, so would she. That's what she's been working for, living in New York in a one-bedroom apartment, having 10 orgasms a day with her girlfriend.
She said that?
Yeah. She left the 7 kids. 15 10-minute orgasms a day. I don't have that time to do anything, but the apartment's small, so they don't have to clean a lot. Except up each other. But she leaves the kids with him and, you know, and then she spends 15 days with the girlfriend and then goes to the house and then hangs out with the kids and then goes back to the girlfriend.
So she travels from the New York to the OC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't think people, I think really honestly her biggest mistake is that. I just don't think the audience that are mothers, predominantly mothers,
no.
They will not accept that. I understand men do that. I understand men travel and don't see their kids except on the summer. The standard will never be the same. And especially when you're not leaving for 15 days because you're Angelina Jolie and you're in the jungle filming a movie about someone who saved, you know, tigers.
Yeah.
You are going to get fingered. And I just don't think that women like that.
No, you're so smart. Look, at the end of the day, the demographic for housewives are housewives.
And moms.
A lot of stay-at-home moms. They don't want to see that shit. You're so right.
No,
you're so right.
That's why, you know, they are critical. They are critical if they think someone's not an attentive mom or not a good mom.
No.
You know, that scene when Teresa comes home. I just got chills thinking about it. When Teresa comes home from prison, mm-hmm. even though he's like, how you doing? Like, he wasn't that excited. It was the girls.
Yeah.
It was all of that. And it's like, everyone knows she's a great mom. Like, you know, and Melissa's, 90% of the women that we're seeing on these shows truly are really good moms. There's only a couple that people are like, doesn't really seem as attentive or way too many nannies or whatever. But, you know, like why Kyle shines and like, you know, because that's really what we want.
Teresa,
you know?
Kyle,
and
then,
and in defense
sure.
of some of these women, sometimes those scenes are not featured. Sometimes they aren't featured being a mom.
But the thing about it is, and I think it's funny you brought up the Heather scene with her daughter coming out.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a planted scene where
literally
it's set up.
Literally planted.
Yes, pun intended.
Yeah.
Versus those glimpses. Like, I think Dorit is a great mother. Mm-hmm. Like, there's glimpses where she's in wardrobe and her kids come up, Mom, what are you doing? And she talks to them. And
yes,
goes,
yes.
Like, she's attentive to the children.
I agree.
You can't script that.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And you see that, too. And, like, and yeah, and just, you know, or when Kyle cried to Kathy that her daughter didn't want to do anything. That was so real. And that was, you know, parents, like, especially in California where nobody could go to school and stuff. And your kids started to get real comfortable just being at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they got annoyed when, like, school had to go in session. They were like, I don't want to leave. Like, I'm, you know, and you're like, fuck, like, this is going to be a lot to undo. So I think people just really related to her. Let me go through a couple more before we finish. Want to make sure we got. How do you feel about Ultimate Girls Trip? That's coming June 23rd. I'm excited for this type of stuff. Let's just say you mentioned some of your favorites. Would you like to cast another anybody from any season, let's put like six together and then tell me a location that you think works.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we get Nene?
Sure we can.
Okay.
I'm not, listen.
Oh, no, it wasn't to you.
I'm not against it. As as the head of this department, I love me some Nene Leakes. Let's dismiss the lawsuit, girl. Come along.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I would love to see Nene.
Yes.
Okay, I would love to see, who else? Because I feel like they got all the good ones. Who's missing?
I think you can redo one. It's about the combination.
Oh.
So, because you kind of said, you mentioned the people that you thought were the
force multipliers.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, what do you think of Ebony? She gone, she's never coming back.
I think she's coming back.
Really?
I had her on my podcast. And
do you know? So we're doing old school New York, and then we're doing New Young, and she'd be on New Young.
She'll be on New Young. She'll be on the diverse portion of the New York City Housewives.
So old,
I believe that.
So old white,
right?
Old white rich.
She won't be on that one for obvious
and
reasons.
And then younger mix.
Yes, younger diverse cast.
Okay, I like it.
I think that's the case, and that will live on Peacock.
And what do you think about Dorinda and, Sonia and Luann spinoff, Simple Life?
These are two women who I love.
Yes.
I personally did not ask for that.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
And I don't care to see it.
Listen, I like Luann. I'm seeing her show on the 23rd. She's hooking me up.
I love
I'm celebrating my birthday that night.
Giovanni.
And,
Are you wearing Giovanni?
I don't have Giovanni, but now you make me think I gotta like really bring a great outfit.
You do.
But I will say, you know what? I'll watch it. I do think it might be a challenge for everyone involved. I think the two of them doing one particular tat, like it might be a little hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, everyone thinks they're Laverne and Shirley and Ethel and Lucy.
Not everyone's meant to be a Beyonce of reality television.
Right.
Everyone, this is my opinion.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry,
we'll go back to that.
And I will get in trouble for saying this, but I don't give a shit.
Good, mark this down.
In my opinion, the only current housewife who I think deserves a spinoff is Teresa and her daughters. I would watch Teresa, Louie, and their family like for weeks. I don't want to see any housewife with a spinoff. No. I don't know. You're meant to be in an ensemble. Stop trying to be the Beyonce of Bravo.
Right.
And understand your role in this ensemble.
Yeah.
Because 98% of them think they can carry a show. And I'm telling you, you can't.
Yeah.
Even
if
you're
sharing.
Do you
think that Teresa can be the next Kris Jenner? And the girls can have the fun fights that the Kardashians have, but then make up the next day.
100%. I was with those girls when they were like toddlers. And
you old troll.
Right.
Give me some pizza, you old
you know,
troll.
I was with those girls. I was in the delivery room when Adriana was being born.
Yeah.
That's how much I go back with these ladies and these girls. they can handle it. The fact that Gia stood up to her uncle.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah.
That's the shit I want to see. And at the end of the day, Heather, there's so much love when it comes to that family. And like you mentioned earlier, when Teresa came home from prison, her daughter was like, Joey, love you, but mom is back. They have this chemistry and this camaraderie that is just juicy TV. So Teresa, to me, is the only current housewife that can handle a spinoff, that is watchable.
So you were not a fan of Manzo Knows Best or whatever that was? Manzoed.
Oh, Manzo. I don't think I watch a lot of that.
Oh, what do you think about Todd Chrisley?
Which part? Are we surprised of the allegations of sexual intercourse with another man?
Nobody's surprised.
Oh, are we surprised by that?
But I'm just saying, what do you think of, like now, I mean, what he's looking at of Chrisley Knows Best
30 years.
Is a lot more than what happened with Teresa and Joe, where you can put the show on hold and we can watch a fun reunion. I mean, I don't know. Reunion. I mean, what if you were in charge of those three shows? What would you be doing? He's got three shows right now riding on him.
I mean, I...
Along with his assistant.
I would see the show through the eyes of the kids dealing with it.
Oh, so you'd still have...
Because how can you survive...
I disagree. No, you can't. No. The show... Because the show was light and scripted and corn.
Oh, I know.
It was corn.
That's why it...
Corny.
You can't call it Chrisley Knows Best because he didn't know best.
Boop. Yeah.
So you have to figure out a whole nother show with it. That's the thing. It has to be dark comedy. Mm. I'm sorry.
I don't think you can save it. Anyway, good thing it's not your show. Listen... Give me the people.
Okay.
And then we're going to go through the shows you're on
the air. I want Nene and Kenya. Yeah. Okay. I want Ramona. Mm-hmm. I want Jill. I want Giselle. And I want Karen.
Yes. That I kind of like because we have a couple people from each franchise that have quite a history with each other. They could bond and they could be like, these two are mean, or they could split it. And
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
It's good that you're in the business that you are. tell me about all these shows that you have. So Love and Marriage, Huntsville. Huntsville is in Georgia? Where is Huntsville?
That's in Alabama.
In Alabama.
Yeah.
And tell me a little about these shows and why we should be watching all these fun new reality shows.
Yeah. So listen, I spent many years being blessed to work on the amazing Real Housewives franchise. So I left this show to start my production company. And to create a franchise that's successful on the Oprah Winfrey Network is great. So we have Love and Marriage Huntsville, which is the number one show on the network. And we now have a spinoff called Love and Marriage DC that stars Monique Samuels from Potomac and is getting great reviews. The ratings are good.
This is a DC one. I got to put a DC too. They're all really gorgeous people.
So this show is different than a Housewives because it's about couples. So each show has three couples who are navigating life through their career, their marriages, and their friendships. And it's juicy because you get to see the point of view from men. They're not in the background. They get interviews. You know, they're just as much as a bigger star as the women. And it's a way to look inside the life of married couples.
I love it. Well, this has been too fun. You are just as cute and delightful as everyone told me.
Thank you.
And everybody check out your, tell everybody where they can follow you and check out these other shows on OWN.
Yeah, so I like to say it's OWN and Poppin' on Saturday night. So we have the Love and Marriage franchise starting with Huntsville, then DC, and my late night show called The Nightcap with Carlos King that also airs Saturday at 10 o'clock. And my podcast, Reality with the King. And you can follow me on social media at @TheCarlosKing_.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Also, I want to thank you guys. Many of you sent me beautiful gifts. I got a beautiful handmade coffee mug. I got a beautiful box from a teacher with all these cute things in it, pineapple glasses. I got a Amber Turd turd, which my kids loved. It was that Spencer fake poop, like that you used to get at the Spencer store. Really fun gift. Wonderful well wishes. Annie and I had a beautiful birthday. Thank you so much. And if you really want to give me a gift and you have been crazy enough not to treat yourself, join Patreon today. Go to heathermcdonald.net, click on Patreon. all, like, I don't know, am I up to 4 years of episodes, will be yours for free, all commercial free. Binge them, listen to them all. No one regrets it. Thank you.